We're thankful to be able to come to you with this second lesson on the words, "It is expedient." We're getting this out of John chapter 16 and verse number 7. "Nevertheless, even though your hearts are sorrowful, I'm going to tell you the truth anyhow." Ain't that good of the Lord? And sometimes we have to tell our children things that make them sad, but they need to hear and understand these things to be able to face them and to be able to grow up. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient." Same words in Matthew 5, 29 and 30. "It is profitable. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, and he did, I will send him unto you." And he did. So thank the Lord for his finished work. He did what he was supposed to do. Jesus left his little church. He was pastor of the church. He was the head, the shepherd. He left it, went back to the Lord God, and left them to the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to do. We have to go on in the Lord and wait and see what God does with them, if we're even allowed to see that. Now, let me give you some things that will help you to, as it were, systematize some of the things and the truths about Jesus saying, "It is expedient for you that I go away." First of all, it is expedient, number one, for further and future revelation. For future revelation. John 16, verse 4. "But these things have I told you, that when the time come, ye may remember that I told you of them." You will have them in your memory. The Holy Spirit, John 14 and 26, he will bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Get those scriptures in your head. The Holy Spirit will get them in your heart at the time when you need them. Listen, "And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. It is expedient for me to go away, because there was things I wasn't telling you at the beginning, because you couldn't hear them, because I was with you." Verse number 12, John 16, verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." There's no sense telling them now, because him being with them, they wouldn't understand the seriousness and the gravity and the reality of them. Verse 25, John 16, 25. "These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." There was going to be a future revelation of God's word to them in their hearts that will make things plain to them. Christian, you know that. The things that you knew when you used to have that little Bible with the pictures in it, with a little zip-up, you know, cover on it, back when you was young, you know, you've laid it aside. Sometimes you might get it out and just smile at how naive we were back then. But now you've got a different Bible, and you begin to understand more plainly. The Holy Spirit is revealing these things to you more plainly. In verse 33 of John 16, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." I will say things more plainly to you, because you're going to find out it's not in the Bible, not in the scripturated word, but in the person of the word, ye shall have peace. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So in me ye shall have the confidence and the reality and the revelation of the truth of God, so that you might overcome the world. "And he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world." So that's first of all, it is expedient for you that I go away, so that there could be more complete revelation to you. Secondly, in verse 5 in John 16, "For manhead," Christ, the head of the human race, is now united with the Godhood. That's amazing. That's powerful. Twofold cord is not easily broken. And when God the Father and the Son come together, there's the sending forth of the third, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to you. And it is upon the basis of their strength, as they watch over you, God the Father and Son, that you have come to see how expedient it was that Jesus the Son go back to the Father. Listen, manhood is now united with the Godhood. But now I go my way to him that sent me. That's what he says in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me. Now, we understand, yes, that means that it is expedient for you that I go away, that I go to him that sent me. We're just thinking strictly about the ascension, the resurrection and the ascension of Christ back into heaven. But he can't have a resurrection and ascension until he goes to the cross to prepare a place for you. So he is not going to be able to be incorporated and represented and represent as manhead the entirety of the spiritual race of all born-again believers back into the Godhood, except he goes by way of the cross. And again, in John 14, in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, we just read past that and we say, yeah, we believe in God, we believe in God. Wait a minute. There was no Jesus for 4,000 years of human history. Isaiah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Jeremiah, Daniel, all those people. They believe in the future coming of Messiah, but they didn't have the humanity of God with them. So he's telling the Old Testament people, you know how you believed in God for all those thousands of years? Well, now you can believe in me in the same way, because I am that very God. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 and verse 9, I think. In verse number 2 of John 14, in my Father's house are many abodes, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to be that which you rest in and rely on spiritually. Just like you believed in God in the Old Testament, when Moses said, who shall I say has sent me? Then God the Father, the spokesperson of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, said, I am that I am. Now we have Jesus saying throughout the scriptures in the New Testament, I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the true vine. I am the bread of heaven. I already said that. But anyhow, he says the I ams to prove that he was the one that was saying, I am that I am, in Exodus 3:14. So he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he wasn't going to heaven to prepare a place for you. He was going to the cross to prepare a place for you. And we understand and see that there was one, in chapter 11 of John, in verse 50, John chapter 11, beginning with verse number 50. Well, let's do 49 so you can see who it is that's talking. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all. Talking to all the religious boys. Y'all ain't even thinking about the right thing. Listen. Nor consider that it is expedient. Jesus said it is expedient that I go away because the Holy Spirit won't come. And we jump from him saying it is expedient all the way to the ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit. And you jump over something that's very important. absolutely essential. And Caiaphas brings it out. Why did he say it is expedient in John 11 and verse 50? Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people. When Jesus said it is expedient that I go away, he wasn't talking about skipping over the cross like we do in our minds. Just say, well, that's him in Acts 1:8 and 9. The same Jesus whom you saw go away shall come in like manner. And he was received up in a cloud. Don't skip over why he was going away. And that is that he was going away by way of the cross. The Holy Spirit is not going to have anything to apply to your soul if Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, does not shed his blood for us to cleanse us. We sing about it. There is a fountain filled with blood. Where did it come from? Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. What good is it? Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. So the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just saying, it is expedient that I ascend. In his mind, he was understanding that I will ascend and go back to the Father by way of the cross. I go to prepare a place for you. He's not talking about going to heaven and building you a house. He's talking about going to the cross and building you redemption. Something for the Holy Spirit to work with, to be able to take and make application of it to your soul. The reality of Jesus Christ having died had always been before you were ever born and all the way up to the time before you were born again. It was a reality. You knew about it. You talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being the gospel. That really ain't the gospel. That's facts about the gospel. The gospel is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ giving us his life that we might have life in him. So he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. And it is, dear soul, that he might die. And we find that this is brought out in the scriptures here as Caiaphas speaks of this. And he said, verse 50 of John 11, nor consider that it is expedient, same three words, for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Now listen, how did he say that? The preparation of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs 16. It doesn't matter whether he's lost or saved. And so this man, I don't know whether he even knew God or not. He's an old mossy back high priest. But listen, verse 51 of John 11. And this spake he not from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So the Holy Spirit is going to say through this old mossy back high priest, whether he knows God or not, it's not up for me to judge or to say. But I know this, God used his tongue to give us fuller and more complete understanding of Jesus saying it is expedient. For those are the same three words that came out of the mouth of the Holy Child Jesus and the holy tongue of the Lord God, the Word, that came out of the mouth of this high priest. It is expedient. Jesus said that I go away. But that includes what Caiaphas said, that one man should die for the sins of these people. So, it is expedient. Number one, verse 4, for farther revelation, for added and more complete revelation. Number two, that Jesus Christ, the manhead, should go back into the Godhood. You believe in God, believe also in me. God started out with a man. He's called the first Adam. Jesus Christ is called the last Adam. And we understand that God had this first Adam and he told him, listen, everything in the universe is under your authority. I'm going to give you dominion and power and authority over everything. And I want you to rule it in my place and in my stead. And you know what happened. The devil came and through his wife, he brought him down and stole the scepter from man, because the angels, who were celestial beings and not made of the dust of the ground, could not stand it and have themselves represented by the words in Matthew, "We will not have this man to rule over us." So the devil is called the prince of the world. He's called the prince of the darkness of this world. And Jesus Christ came, the last Adam, and stole the scepter back from him. He didn't steal it. He took what was rightfully his. And now he stands in God's stead, just like the first Adam did, was supposed to stand in God's stead and rule over mankind. And not just mankind, but all that in existence. But the angels said, not us. At least some of the angels did. And one led them in rebellion against God. And that's where we get the devil. Then the last Adam comes and he gets it all back. So we understand and see that he is given back that which Adam lost. Let's read it again. You want to? In Daniel chapter 7. I don't ever get tired of reading this. Why is it expedient? Number one, that God might give us farther revelation. Number two, that the manhead, the last Adam, should be reunited in the Godhood and thereby give us the benefits of God the Father and Son being one after redemption was accomplished. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the four Gentile thrones, the Chaldeans, the Medes and Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. And during the time of the Roman Empire and the Roman throne, Caesar, here is when the Ancient of Days did sit and the Son of Man was presented to, back to God in his ascension in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Caesar was on the throne, and God gave Daniel the insight thousands of years before this. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans, Darius the Medes and the Persians, Alexander the Greek, the Great, the Greeks, and Caesar the Romans. I beheld till these things were cast down, and God was through with the worldwide rule of man, these thrones. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, representing God the Father, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Providences within providences. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. That's what Jesus said. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Now is the judgment of this world. John chapter 12, verses 31 through 33. And listen. As concerning the rest of the beast, the Gentile empires, they had their dominion taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season of time. We still have human government. Now, in verse 13, Daniel 7, 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. You see those clouds in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion. That's what Adam lost, dominion. You can read it in the book of Genesis. Given him dominion over all that, and it was taken away. Then the Gentile world powers ruled, and in the midst of the fourth kingdom, in the Roman Empire, the spiritual kingdom of Christ was set up. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And again, dear soul, when these disciples that we're reading of in John chapter 16 saw these things apart from the Holy Spirit, because Jesus had not yet ascended. Excuse me, dry throat. We are seeing what so-called Christianity looks like prior to the sending of the Holy Spirit, with only the physical and natural things. Peter and James and John and Thomas and all the rest of them saw these things naturally, physically. Wilt thou again restore the kingdom to Israel? And so Christianity today, with these facts and understandings without the Holy Spirit, is still thinking Jesus is going to come and set up a temple in Jerusalem. Why would he want to do that and go back to sacrificing a beast and doing away with a complete and full sacrifice of the Lamb of God? I don't want to go back to that. Why would you throw away the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done and go back to animal sacrifice? It's over and done with, friend. But that's how people think when they got religion and got the physical but don't have the spiritual, and they still hold on to the physical Jesus Christ. He has not yet gone away. It is expedient, church, that Jesus go away. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. 2 Corinthians 5:15-16, somewhere along in there. You don't know Jesus by the physical revelation and understanding of him. If you do, you're not saved. Because no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we read you earlier, we don't walk by the sight, we walk by the Spirit. So we see that there's given him dominion and glory, and these guys could only see it physically. Now, in verse number 22 of Daniel 7, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. You say, well, that's the end time judgment. No, it's the gospel being preached throughout the world. People are being judged by the gospel. For 2,000 long years, the church has gone around the world from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world, preached the gospel to every creature. And that's how judgment is set up. And you're determining your eternal fate. Do you believe the gospel? Then you've judged yourself a sinner and say, Lord, have mercy on me, and God has saved you, and now you are ready for eternal glory. But if you have said, oh, I ain't going to believe all that stuff, they ain't going to tell me what to do. You just judge yourself, and now you're ready for the resurrection of death and not the resurrection of life. Judgment is set up. The gospel is that which brings forth the judgment of the world. Listen. And he says, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. That's Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 22. So we understand and see that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone back into the presence of Almighty God, and judgment has been established. Verse 26, before we leave Daniel 7, verse 26, but the judgment shall see it, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. That's the 10 kings. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So the saints of God are promoting and extending the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, let me be faithful to preach the gospel, to support the gospel, to live the gospel. so that the kingdom can be extended. Whether they receive it or whether they don't, it will be extended. And they will judge themselves, and judgment is set up. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, past tense, eternal redemption for us. It is expedient that I go away. Yes, he says in John 16, I go back to the Father. But he knew he wasn't going to go back to the Father, but only by way of the cross. So his blood has been shed, and he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then in verse 24, for Christ is... slow down, Breed. Okay. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. Well, we built a big old cathedral over here, and we'll show you how great God is. God ain't nowhere within 10,000 miles of that place. It's just something for you to glory in. Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I go away to stand in the presence of God for you, because the blood has been shed, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest had to enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Listen to this. Hebrews 9:26b. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When he said, as recorded in John 19:30, it is finished, that was the expediency that he had to go away. It is finished. Redemption is accomplished. The Father is satisfied. I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. And that's the way that it was. Now listen. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now you understand I'm a Gentile. I was not a physical Israelite or a physical Jew. I could not go into the tabernacle or the temple. Wasn't allowed. But dear friend, even though they might have been natural born Jews, they're not allowed to go into the holiest of all except they'd be born again just like me. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's God that has provided for us all. Listen, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. It hasn't ever been before. It's a new way. And it's not formal tradition. Well, on a certain day you go in here and present this certain animal's blood in the morning, and that afternoon you go and present another animal's blood at the evening and the afternoon. And this time you kill 7 goats, and this time you don't. It's a new way, and it's a living way. It doesn't have to be repeated by a new and living way. Listen, I'm reading you Hebrews 10:20, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. At the same time, the veil of the temple was being torn open for all men to be able to come into the holy place. The veins of Jesus Christ was being torn open, and we have opportunity to come in by those 5 sacred wounds where the blood was let in both of his feet, in both of his hands, and in his head, and in his side. Those sacred, how does that song go? 5 sacred wounds supply dear soul, it's God has opened up the veins of Jesus Christ at the same time that he ripped the veil of the temple. It was at the same time, and it was to show you that the physical ripping of the veil of the temple allowed Jew and Gentile all to come in who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a picture, and it was that which symbolized the opening of the veins of the Lamb of God for us to come to God by the blood of the Lamb. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? And then, listen, the third thing, and it's the last thing that I want to share with you, why was it expedient that he go away? Number one, that the word of God may be more profitable and be in further and deeper revelation, not by proverbs and shadowy things, but the truth of God revealed. Number two, for the manhood, the Lord Jesus, who was the last Adam, could be united with the Godhood of God. And let me read you something. John chapter 16 and verse number 28. John 16 verse 28. Listen to this. This is how Jesus thinks. I know he said, I'm going back to the Father. But he didn't not include going by way of the cross back to the Father. For the other, it is expedient, in John 11:50 was said by Caiaphas, the high priest, that he should die for us. So he's going back. It's expedient that he should die on the way back to the Father, that he might be able to get back into the presence of the Father. Then it's expedient for you that the Holy Ghost be sent. The Father will send him in my name. Here's how he thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did Jesus think? Listen, you little knucklehead preacher, you don't have any formal training. No, I don't. Never been to a Bible college, never been to a Bible school, not 1 hour, not 1 minute of my life. But I have the same training and teaching that John and Peter and James had, the Holy Spirit, which is what you have if you're of the Lord. Now, here's what it said. How you know the mind of Christ? Here's what he said. There are four things that he listed in John 16:28. Number one, I came forth from the Father. He understood his eternality, and the Word was with God. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. I came forth from the Father. Number two, that was his eternality. Number two, and am come into the world. That is his incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. So his eternality, I came forth from the Father, number two, and am come into the world, his incarnation. And then he says, I leave the world, and that is his ascension. This same Jesus whom you saw go away shall also come in like manner as you've seen him go. So he goes from his eternality, to his incarnation, to his ascension. And then the last thing he says, the last phrase in John 16:28, he says, and go to the Father. So he gives us his eternality. He says, I came forth from the Father. His incarnation, I'm coming to the world. His ascension, I leave the world. And then he tells us of how his manhood shall go back into the Godhood of God and go to the Father. I and the Father are one. He said, I'm coming to you, Father, having completed the work that thou hast given me to do. So we understand and see the expediency of Christ going away. It is of all and great benefit to us. It gives us the Word of God more plainly and a more complete revelation that they didn't have in the Old Testament. These things are written that ye might believe. That's what it says in John chapter 20. We're given the fullness and the completeness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Scriptures by the Spirit. And then it's that the Christ shall be reunited with God in a different and a more perfect and in a more complete and special way in that he goes back into the Godhood, and he and the Father send forth the Holy Spirit to us, which brings us into life with God, that we might be one in him as he is one in us. And then there is for the universal presence of God in John chapter 16, verse 7, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove or convince the world. Again, go back to the back of your Bible and look at the maps and pick out the map where it says the time of Jesus. And you'll find that he didn't travel very far. Then how in the world is the gospel going to go throughout the whole world? And not just to every place, but in every time. How did it come down to you in this century? How did it come down to you in this decade? It was because he went back to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, who will convince the world. And time is not going to come to an end till all of God's elect people shall be saved. Because he's not willing that any of us should be deceived or should die in our sins, but that we should all come to repentance. It's going to be that way. How is it that way? Because he said it is expedient that I go away. And it will come into all the world. And dear soul, we understand and see that there was times when Jesus' absence was brought forth to show you the benefit of it. Just stop and read John chapter 11. He whom thou lovest is sick, but yet he abode there 2 more days. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He didn't go. His absence provided for the glory of God and the glory of the Son of God, John 11:4. And 2 times the 2 sisters said, if you'd have been here, you could have prevented this death. But Jesus didn't come to prevent death. He came to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, so he didn't go to Lazarus when he was sick. He waited till he died. We don't need a prevention of our ills. We need the cure of all death and sin. And that's what he did. It is expedient for you that I go away. He abode there 2 days, didn't go see him, waited till he died, and waited till they said, by this time he stinketh. And he said, I want you to understand something. If I had come when you wanted me to, I should have been just a healer. And he could have healed him, yeah. But he waited not only till he died, but till he stunk, that his body was rotting. And he said, because I want you to realize something about me. I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. Whew. And he that was dead came forth. Dear soul, do you need just some little goober-headed God that, you know, give you an aspirin when you have a headache? Or do you need the mighty Christ who says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for then I shall conquer death, hell, and the grave. And I'll go back to the Father, and he shall send you another comforter, just like me. And he will abide with you always. You never breathed a breath. You've never gone through a day. You've never slept at night a single time since you got saved that he wasn't with you. Ain't God good? My soul. So those are some of the ways that we wanted to show you. And in Matthew chapter 8, I'm reminded too that this centurion, Jesus said he hath greater faith than that which I see in Israel. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word. That's Christianity. We don't have to have Jesus of Nazareth come riding on a donkey down our streets, we have the Holy Spirit to come and make application of what Jesus has done and bring us to the awareness of God. And Jesus said, this Gentile centurion has greater faith than I've seen in Israel. I trust this message has been a blessing to you. Our dear brother Bobby Quick is coming now to bring you a blessing in song. Thank you for your prayers. I pray for you.
Well, I conclude that right after that message, there's one thing very necessary, and I'm going to do is call a song, Trust and Obey. Very much, brother. For the Lord's sake, that is.